Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled Death by Design. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1: The Grand Reveal. The penthouse was everything Sophia Layton had envisioned and more. Floor-to-ceiling windows framed the city skyline like a work of art, and each piece of furniture was curated to reflect power, elegance, and precision. The room exuded an effortless grandeur, the kind that only the elite could afford. This was her masterpiece, her crowning achievement, the one that would catapult her name to untouchable heights in the world of interior design. "Perfection," Sophia whispered, her breath misting the glass of a window as she gazed out over the bustling city. She turned, surveying the space with a critical eye, ensuring every detail was flawless. The brass fixtures gleamed, the custom-made Persian rug lay centered to the millimeter, and the lighting cast an ethereal glow over the room. Her client, Charles Beckett, a tech mogul worth billions, walked in, his footsteps muffled by the plush carpeting. His sharp features softened as he took in the transformation. "This," Charles paused, his voice thick with awe. "This is beyond anything I could have imagined, Sophia. You've outdone yourself." Sophia smiled demurely, brushing a strand of her chestnut hair behind her ear. "Thank you, Charles. It was a pleasure bringing your vision to life." "It's not just my vision," he said, circling the room. "It's yours. And it's brilliant." The two exchanged polite pleasantries as Sophia subtly guided him through the space, pointing out the nuances that only someone with her expertise would notice. The hidden compartments, the imported materials, the seamless blend of technology and artistry, everything had been crafted to meet his specific tastes. As the sun dipped below the horizon, Charles poured them both glasses of champagne from a sleek, built-in bar. "To your genius," he said, raising his glass. Sophia clinked her flute against his, the sound ringing delicately through the penthouse. "To your trust," she replied, her smile not quite reaching her eyes. Later that night, Sophia lingered after Charles excused himself to take a call in his home office. She strolled through the penthouse once more, marveling at her creation but also feeling the familiar sense of detachment creeping in. She had poured her soul into this space, but now that it was finished, it was no longer hers. A crash shattered the tranquility of the night. Sophia froze, the champagne flute slipping from her hand and shattering on the hardwood floor. "Charles," she called, her voice tinged with alarm. There was no response. Hurrying toward the office, Sophia's heels clicked against the floor until she came to a halt at the door. It was ajar. Tentatively, she pushed it open. Charles Beckett lay sprawled across the floor, motionless. Blood pooled beneath his head, glinting darkly under the recessed lighting. His phone lay a few feet away, its screen cracked and smeared with red. "Oh my God," Sophia whispered, her hand flying to her mouth. Her first instinct was to call for help, but she hesitated. Something felt off. She scanned the room, her designer's eye catching every detail. The overturned chair, the broken vase, the faint impression of a handprint on the desk. It didn't look like an accident. The investigation begins. Detective Liam Hartwell arrived on the scene just as the paramedics were wheeling Charles's covered body out of the penthouse. A seasoned investigator with a knack for spotting patterns others missed, Hartwell had been called in due to the high-profile nature of the case. He glanced around the luxurious space, his sharp eyes taking in the pristine decor. It was the kind of place that screamed money and power, and he knew from experience that those things often came with dark secrets. Sophia stood by the floor-to-ceiling windows, her arms wrapped around herself. Her normally composed demeanor was cracked, her expression a mix of shock and something else Hartwell couldn't quite place. "Ms. Layton," he said, approaching her. She turned to face him, her eyes glassy but alert. "Detective," she said softly. I don't even know what to say. Charles was fine earlier. I left him to take a call," and then she trailed off, her voice breaking. Hartwell nodded sympathetically, but his mind was already racing. You designed this place.
Yes.
And you were here when it happened.
Yes.
I heard a crash and found him like that. Hartwell's gaze drifted over her, noting her perfectly tailored dress, the subtle tremor in her hands, the faint smudge of something on her sleeve, paint perhaps?
Or was it blood?
I'm sorry for your loss, he said, his voice measured. But I'll need you to come down to the station to answer a few questions. Sophia nodded, her expression unreadable. The seeds of suspicion. As the night wore on, Hartwell couldn't shake the feeling that something about Sophia didn't add up. She was poised, articulate, and cooperative. Almost too cooperative. And then there was the penthouse itself. It was a masterpiece, yes, but it was also a stage, meticulously curated down to the smallest detail. The first seeds of suspicion were planted, and as Hartwell delved into the case, he began to wonder, was Charles Beckett's death truly an accident? Or was it part of a design far more sinister than anyone could imagine? Chapter 2, Threads of Suspicion. Detective Liam Hartwell leaned back in his chair, the hum of the precinct filling the room. In front of him was the case file on Charles Beckett, a man whose life on paper seemed untouchable. Billionaire tech mogul, philanthropist, and public figure. Yet, here he was, another name added to a growing list of the wealthy and powerful dying in bizarre, almost theatrical circumstances. The troubling common thread. Ophelia Layton. Hartwell flipped through his notes. Two other clients of Sophia's had met untimely ends within the past 18 months. Both deaths had been ruled accidents, one a fall down a marble staircase, the other an electrocution in a custom-designed bathroom. If Beckett's death followed the same pattern, it could no longer be dismissed as coincidence. Sophia's past unveiled. Sophia sat in her apartment, the tension in her muscles betraying the calm she was trying to maintain. Her lawyer, Margot Blake, a sharp, no-nonsense woman with a reputation for defending high-profile clients, sat across from her. They think I did this, Sophia said finally, breaking the silence. They suspect you, Margot corrected. Suspicion isn't proof. But we need to be careful, Sophia. You were at the scene. You have a connection to the victim. And now, thanks to the media frenzy, they've dredged up the other two cases. Sophia's hands tightened around her coffee cup. I had nothing to do with those deaths, Margot. I'm just a designer. You're not just a designer, Margot said pointedly. You're Sophia Layton. You work for the most powerful people in the city. That kind of exposure makes you a target. Sophia nodded, but her mind wandered. The memories of her previous clients' deaths resurfaced, unbidden. She had attended their funerals, sent condolences, and dealt with the whispers that followed. Now, with Beckett's death, the whispers had turned into roars. The investigation deepens. Hartwell's first stop was Beckett's office at Titan Technologies, where he met with Beckett's business partner, Victor Hale. A tall, imposing man with a piercing gaze, Victor seemed unfazed by his partner's death. Charles was a perfectionist, Victor said, leaning back in his chair. He wanted the best of everything, which is why he hired Sophia Layton. But this. He gestured toward a framed photo of Beckett on his desk. This doesn't make sense. Did he have any enemies? Hartwell asked. Victor gave a humorless laugh. You don't become a billionaire without stepping on a few toes. But nothing serious. Charles was a shrewd businessman, but he wasn't the kind to leave loose ends. Hartwell studied Victor for a moment. The man was composed, almost too composed. What about Sophia? Did he have any problems with her work? Victor hesitated, a flicker of something crossing his face. Not that I know of. But Charles was particular. If something wasn't perfect, he wouldn't have hesitated to let her know. Hartwell made a mental note of the subtle tension in Victor's voice. Unearthing Sophia's secrets. Back at the station, Hartwell's partner, Detective Cara Medina, had uncovered new information. Got something interesting, Medina said, dropping a file onto Hartwell's desk. Sophia Layton's financial records. Turns out she's been receiving payments from an anonymous source.
large sums every few months going back 3 years. Hartwell frowned, flipping through the documents. And none of these are tied to her design business.
Oh.
And get this. One of the payments was made just a week before Beckett's death. Hartwell's mind raced. Could Sophia be involved in something deeper? Something far more sinister than a string of bad luck. Run a trace on these payments, he said. I want to know where they're coming from. Sophia's world unravels. Sophia arrived at her studio the next morning to find the place swarming with reporters. Cameras flashed as questions were hurled at her from every direction. Ms. Layton, were you involved in Charles Beckett's death? Is it true that two of your other clients also died in accidents? Are you a suspect in a murder investigation? Sophia pushed her way through the crowd, her heart pounding. Inside, the sanctuary of her studio felt violated. She locked the door behind her and leaned against it, trying to catch her breath. Her assistant, Elena, approached cautiously. Sophia, are you okay? No, Sophia said, her voice shaking. Not okay. This is spiraling out of control. Elena hesitated before holding out a tablet. You should see this. Sophia took the device, her stomach sinking as she saw the headline. Designer of death? Sophia Layton's clients keep dying. Below it was a photo of her, looking cold and detached as she left Beckett's penthouse. A new development. That evening, Hartwell received a call from Medina. We've got something big, she said. What is it? The payments to Sophia. They're linked to an offshore account owned by Victor Hale. Hartwell's grip tightened on the phone. Beckett's business partner. And here's the kicker. Victor's been funneling money into multiple accounts tied to Sophia's previous clients. Hartwell's mind raced. Was Victor using Sophia as a pawn in some larger scheme? Or was she a willing participant? This case just got a hell of a lot more complicated, he muttered. Chapter 3. Motives and Misdirections. Detective Liam Hartwell sat at his cluttered desk, the dim glow of the precinct lights reflecting off the freshly printed photos spread before him. Each image depicted a scene of tragedy. Charles Beckett's blood-streaked floor, the marble staircase where Sophia's client Eleanor Blackwell had fallen, the bathroom where Henry Voltaire was electrocuted. Hartwell stared at the thread tying them together. Sophia Layton. She stood at the nexus of these deaths, her connection undeniable. Yet nothing definitive pointed to her guilt, only an eerie pattern and a sense that her life was just a little too perfectly curated. Across from him, Detective Cara Medina leaned back in her chair, twirling a pen in her fingers. You look like you're about to crack this case wide open, she said. Hartwell tapped the photo of Beckett's office. We're missing something. The offshore payments from Victor Hale are a big lead, but we need more. If Sophia's involved, she's either playing a role in his scheme or she's been set up to take the fall. Medina nodded. I traced Hale's accounts. They tie back to a series of shell companies, all connected to Beckett's projects. It looks like Hale's been skimming off the top for years. If Beckett found out, Hartwell finished the thought. Hale would have every reason to silence him. But why involve Sophia? And why are these deaths staged like accidents? It feels calculated. Maybe it's more than money, Medina said. Maybe there's a personal angle we're missing. Sophia's descent. Sophia Layton's studio, once her sanctuary, now felt like a prison. The media storm had grown relentless, her name splashed across every headline. Her face the subject of endless speculation. She had canceled all her appointments, her reputation as the city's top designer teetering on the brink of collapse. Her assistant Elena entered quietly, holding a steaming cup of tea. You need to eat something, Sophia. I'm fine, Sophia replied, though she hadn't eaten more than a few bites of toast in days. Elena hesitated, then placed a folder on the table. You should see this. It was in your inbox this morning. Sophia opened the folder with trembling hands. Inside were photos of her standing in Beckett's penthouse, speaking with him, inspecting the space. At first, they seemed innocuous, but as she flipped through, the images took on a sinister tone. The last photo was of her standing over Beckett's lifeless body. Sophia's breath caught. Who sent these? There was no name, Elena said. Just an email address. Anonymous. Sophia felt the walls closing in. Someone was watching her, and they wanted her to know it. A shadow from the past. That evening, Sophia sat alone in her apartment, the photos spread out on the coffee table. Her mind raced as she tried to piece together the events leading up to Beckett's death. She couldn't shake the feeling that someone was pulling the strings, and that this someone might be connected to her past. Her phone buzzed, breaking the silence. It was a message from an unknown number. You should have stayed out of it. Now you're next. Sophia's hands shook as she read the words. She thought back to her estranged sister, Vivian, who had always resented her success. Could Vivian be involved? Or was this someone else entirely? Hartwell's breakthrough. Meanwhile, Hartwell and Medina had tracked down one of Hale's associates, a man named Marcus Vaughn, who had worked on several of Beckett's projects. Vaughn was jittery and evasive as they questioned him, but eventually, he cracked under pressure. Hale's dirty, all right, Vaughn confessed. He's been embezzling from the company for years. Beckett found out and was about to expose him. But I swear, I didn't know about the murders. Then why the offshore payments to Sophia Layton? Medina pressed. Vaughn hesitated. That was Hale's idea. He wanted a scapegoat. Someone with a connection to the victims. Someone who could be tied to the scenes. Hartwell's stomach turned. Are you saying Hale set Sophia up? Vaughn nodded. He made it look like she was involved. The payments, the staged accidents. It was all part of his plan to deflect suspicion. Hartwell leaned forward, his voice low and steady. If Hale's behind this, we need proof. And we need it now. The mastermind revealed. The next day, Hartwell confronted Victor Hale at his sprawling estate. Hale greeted him with a smug smile. His demeanor as polished as his tailored suit. Detective, Hale said, gesturing to a chair. What brings you here? Hartwell didn't sit. Charles Beckett found out about your embezzlement. You killed him to keep him quiet. Hale chuckled, a low, menacing sound. That's quite the accusation. Do you have proof? Hartwell placed a folder on the table. Inside were the records Medina had uncovered, linking Hale to the offshore payments and the shell companies. Hale's smile faltered, but only for a moment. This proves nothing, he said, his voice cold. It proves enough, Hartwell replied. And if you think you're going to pin this on Sophia Layton, you've got another thing coming. We know you orchestrated this entire scheme. Hale leaned back, his expression unreadable. Sophia. She's a fascinating woman, isn't she? So talented, so driven. It's almost a shame she got caught up in all of this. Hartwell's fists clenched. You used her as a pawn. Hale's smile returned, more sinister than before. You think you've figured it out, detective. But you're only scratching the surface. A dangerous game. As Hartwell left Hale's estate, his mind raced. Hale had admitted nothing outright, but his arrogance and cryptic words suggested there was more to the story. Sophia might have been set up, but her hands weren't entirely clean. Hartwell's phone buzzed with a message from Medina. Check your email. We've got something. Opening the file she sent, Hartwell's heart sank. It was a transcript of an encrypted message exchange between Hale and an unidentified accomplice. The messages detailed plans for Beckett's murder, and suggested that Sophia might not be as innocent as she seemed. Chapter 4. The Masterpiece. Sophia Layton sat at her dining table, staring blankly at the untouched meal in front of her. Her world was unraveling at a pace she couldn't control. The photos, the anonymous threats, and the media storm had turned her life into a waking nightmare. And now, there was a new element to consider, the growing suspicion that someone was orchestrating all of it. She thought of the deaths of her clients, each one a grotesque mimicry of the spaces she had designed. Each time she tried to convince herself it was just a string of tragic coincidences, the knot in her stomach grew tighter. Her phone buzzed, startling her out of her thoughts. It was an unknown number. With a deep breath, she answered. "Miss Layton," a distorted voice said, its tone mechanical and cold. "You've created some beautiful spaces, but this one will be your masterpiece." Sophia's blood ran cold. "Who is this?" she demanded, her voice trembling. "Someone who appreciates your work. Soon, everyone will." The line went dead, leaving Sophia gripping the phone, her breath coming in shallow gasps. The trap is set. Detective Liam Hartwell stared at the transcript Medina had sent him. The encrypted messages between Hale and his accomplice hinted at a chilling plan to frame Sophia entirely for the murders. But there was something more. References to a final act, something that hadn't yet happened. "This isn't over," Hartwell said aloud, pacing his office. Medina looked up from her desk. "What do you mean?" "They're planning one more move. Something big. And Sophia's in the center of it." "We don't have enough to arrest Hale," Medina pointed out. "Not yet," Hartwell admitted. "But we can make him think we do. If he feels cornered, he might lead us to his accomplice." Sophia takes a stand. Sophia arrived at the police station the next morning, her usual composed demeanor replaced by an undercurrent of desperation. "I need to speak to Detective Hartwell," she said at the front desk. When Hartwell met her in the interrogation room, she didn't wait for him to sit down. "Someone's targeting me," she said, her voice steady despite the fear in her eyes. "I've been receiving threats. They're trying to destroy me." Hartwell studied her. His instincts conflicted. "Why should I believe you?" Sophia leaned forward, her voice lowering. "Because I've spent my entire career building things, detective. Not destroying them. If you don't stop whoever's behind this, they'll kill again. And I'll be the one who takes the blame." Hartwell nodded slowly. "We have evidence that Victor Hale is involved. Do you have any reason to believe he would target you specifically?" Sophia hesitated. "Victor and I had disagreements when I worked on Beckett's penthouse. He wanted to cut corners and I refused. But this is more than that. It feels personal." "Personal how?" Sophia looked away, her jaw tightening. "There's someone else. Someone I thought I'd left behind. The unveiling." Hartwell and Medina decided to set a trap, using Sophia as bait. She agreed to host a last-minute unveiling for an upcoming project, a sprawling estate in the countryside that Hale had been involved in funding. The event was carefully staged, with plainclothes officers scattered throughout the property and surveillance cameras hidden in strategic locations. Sophia stood in the grand foyer, greeting guests with a strained smile, while Hartwell and Medina monitored the feeds from a nearby van. As the evening progressed, Sophia felt the weight of every glance, every whispered conversation. She couldn't shake the feeling that she was being watched. Then she saw him. A man in a dark suit stood at the edge of the crowd, his face partially obscured by the shadows. It was Elliot Grayson, a figure from her past she had tried to forget. Sophia's heart raced as memories flooded back. Elliot had once been her business partner, a brilliant but manipulative man who had been forced out of their company after a bitter legal battle. She excused herself from the guests and followed him out onto the terrace. "What are you doing here?" she demanded, her voice low but fierce. Elliot turned to face her, a sly smile on his lips. "I'm admiring your work, Sophia. You always had an eye for detail. Why are you doing this?" "Because I can," Elliot said, stepping closer. "You took everything from me. Now I'm returning the favor." The confrontation. Inside the surveillance van, Hartwell and Medina watched the exchange unfold. "That's our guy," Medina said. Hartwell grabbed his radio. "Move in. Now." As officers descended on the property, Elliot's smile faltered. He made a break for the garden, but Hartwell intercepted him, tackling him to the ground. "You're under arrest," Hartwell said, pinning him down. Elliot sneered. "You think this is over? You have no idea what you've walked into. The revelation." Back at the precinct, Hartwell interrogated Elliot, but the man refused to cooperate. Meanwhile, Medina uncovered evidence tying Elliot to the offshore accounts and the payments to Sophia. When confronted with the evidence, Elliot finally broke. Hale wanted Beckett gone, he admitted. But the rest, that was me. Sophia deserved to suffer for what she did to me. And the staged accidents. Hartwell pressed. Artistry, Elliot said with a chilling smile. I couldn't let her have the monopoly on beauty. Chapter 5. Death by Design. The precinct was quieter than usual as Detective Liam Hartwell stared at the evidence board. Red strings connected photos, documents, and diagrams like the chaotic web of lies he'd uncovered. Elliot Grayson was in custody. His confession linking him to 3 murders and the carefully orchestrated smear campaign against Sophia Layton. Yet, the nagging feeling that something was missing gnawed at Hartwell. Victor Hale's involvement wasn't fully explained. The offshore payments, the cryptic messages, the staged accidents, they pointed to something more profound than Elliot's vendetta. The web was bigger, more tangled than he initially believed. What are we missing? Hartwell muttered. Medina entered the room, holding a fresh stack of files. You're not going to like this, she said, dropping the folder on his desk. Hartwell flipped it open. Inside were financial records for the properties Sophia had designed. The money trails connected to Hale's companies showed a pattern of laundering funds through fake renovations. Sophia's work had been the perfect cover. He's been using her projects to hide dirty money, Hartwell said, his tone grim. Medina nodded. And the deaths. They weren't just Elliot's twisted sense of art. They were loose ends. People who found out about the scheme or got too close to the truth. And Hale used Elliot's vendetta against Sophia to tie it all up in a neat little bow, Hartwell added. Sophia takes the fall. Hale walks away clean. Sophia's revelation. Sophia sat in the interrogation room, her hands clasped tightly in front of her. She had been cleared of direct involvement in the murders, but her reputation was in ruins, her business crumbling. Hartwell entered, his expression unreadable. I think we finally have the whole picture, he said, sitting across from her. Do you? Sophia asked, her voice weary. Because I still don't understand how I ended up in the middle of all this. Hartwell placed the financial records on the table. Hale used your projects to launder money. He needed someone with your skill and reputation to sell the legitimacy of the renovations. When Beckett discovered the scheme, Hale arranged for Elliot to eliminate him, and to frame you. Sophia leaned back in her chair, her mind racing. And Elliot agreed because he wanted revenge on me. Yes, Hartwell confirmed. But we still need to prove Hale's direct involvement in the murders. Right now, all we have is circumstantial evidence. Sophia's eyes narrowed. Then let's give him what he wants. The final play. Sophia agreed to meet with Victor Hale under the guise of salvaging her career. The meeting was set at Hale's private estate, a sprawling mansion that reeked of wealth and corruption. Unbeknownst to Hale, the police had wired Sophia with a hidden microphone and stationed a team nearby. Sophia arrived at the estate, her nerves steeled. Hale greeted her with his usual charm, but his eyes betrayed a predator's cunning. Ms. Layton, Hale said, gesturing for her to sit in the opulent living room. It's good to see you haven't lost your touch. Your recent challenges haven't dulled your brilliance. Sophia forced a polite smile. I'm here because I need to know the truth, Victor. Did you use me? Did you set me up? Hale chuckled, swirling the whiskey in his glass. Set you up. Sophia, don't be ridiculous. You were an asset, a brilliant one. It's not my fault you became collateral damage. Sophia's hands clenched into fists under the table. Collateral damage, she repeated, her voice laced with anger. Hale leaned forward, his smile turning sinister. You were perfect, Sophia. Your designs were flawless, your reputation impeccable. No one would have suspected a thing if Beckett hadn't gotten curious. And Elliot? Well, he made it so much easier to clean up the mess. That mess was 3 lives, Sophia said, her voice trembling. Hale shrugged. And yours would have been the 4th, if it weren't for that pesky detective. Sophia's heart pounded as Hale's words confirmed everything Hartwell had suspected. The sting. Before Hale could say another word, the sound of shattering glass interrupted them. Police officers stormed the room, Hartwell at the forefront. "Victor Hale, you're under arrest," Hartwell said, his tone firm. Hale stood, his face a mask of cold fury. "You think you've won, detective?" Hartwell stepped closer. "Your arrogance was your downfall. We've got everything. Your confession, your financial records, and Elliot's testimony. It's over." Hale smirked as the officers cuffed him. "You're a fool if you think this ends with me." Aftermath. With Hale and Elliot in custody, the case was officially closed. Sophia was cleared of all charges, but the damage to her career was irreparable. She decided to leave the city, seeking a fresh start far from the shadows of her past. Before she left, she met with Hartwell one last time.
"Thank you," she said,
"for believing in me, even when it seemed like no one else did." Hartwell nodded. "You're stronger than you realize, Sophia. Don't let this define you." She smiled faintly. "And you? Are you satisfied with how it ended?" Hartwell's expression darkened. "Hale said something during his arrest. He implied there's more to this. I'll keep digging, but for now, this chapter is closed." Sophia hesitated, then reached out to shake his hand. "Good luck, detective." As she walked away, Hartwell watched her go, knowing that in their line of work, endings were rarely as clean as they seemed. Epilogue. Months later, a high-profile architect connected to one of Hale's companies was found dead in their home, the scene eerily reminiscent of Sophia's designs. Hartwell stood at the crime scene, his jaw tight. "Looks like we missed something," Medina said quietly. Hartwell nodded grimly. "Or someone." As the city's skyline glittered in the distance, Hartwell realized that the game was far from over. The end.